It was a good show, making his points with props, quite a few of them. But his audience may have been just one, the United States. The material presented by the Israeli Prime Minister to demonize Iran was meant to make the world believe that Iran is after making nuclear weapons and that Iran had lied about his program. In this debate, we will look at whether the Israeli Prime Minister's tactic worked, the international reaction, and if it was meant to convince the U.S. to stay in the deal rather than leave it, or was it a prelude for the U.S. to leave the deal?
Tonight, we are going to reveal new and conclusive proof of the secret nuclear weapons program that Iran has been hiding for years from the international community.
Yet another on-camera show by the Israeli Prime Minister to mislead the world with his presentation on Iran's nuclear program. Benjamin Netanyahu came up with what he claimed evidence of a secret Iranian nuclear weapons program. Using props, video, and slides, he claimed that Iran concealed its nuclear files after signing the landmark agreement with six world powers in 2015. Netanyahu's comments are seen as a repetition of U.S. claims under a file called Possible Military Dimensions of Iranian Nuclear Activities, which was declared closed by the International Atomic Energy Agency in the 2015 nuclear deal. Ironically, the U.S. president gave a tacit approval to Netanyahu's rhetoric, reiterating his criticism of the deal and suggesting to the possibility of pulling out from the accord.
So no, if anything, it's proven right what Israel has done today with the news conference. And Prime Minister Netanyahu just gave a very, I don't know if everybody's seen it, but I got to see a little bit of it. And that is just not an acceptable situation.
Iran's foreign minister was quick to respond, rejecting the Israeli allegations and slamming the U.S. president for supporting the Israeli claims about Tehran's nuclear program.
President Trump is jumping on a rehash of all allegations already dealt with by the IAEA to nix the deal. How convenient. Coordinated timing of alleged intelligence revelations by the boy who cries wolf just days before May 12. But the Trump's impetuousness to celebrate blew the cover.
Iran's Deputy Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi also said that Netanyahu's show was nothing but childish and naive.
The show that was given by Mr. Netanyahu was another attempt by him to present something which is absolutely wrong and verified by the agency some years back and actually confirmed by the agency in 2015.
The European Union foreign policy chief also rejected Netanyahu's claims, saying the International Atomic Energy Agency's reports have for 10 times certified Tehran's full compliance with its commitments under the deal, also known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or JCPOA. This is not the first such anti-Iran rhetoric by the Israeli premier. Back in 2012, Netanyahu showed a sketch to the UN General Assembly depicting a bomb and its various stages allegedly being pursued by Iran to develop nuclear weapons.
A red line should be drawn right here. Before Iran completes the second stage of nuclear enrichment necessary to make a bomb.
The anti-Iran presentation comes just days before May 12, when Trump will decide whether to stay or pull out of the nuclear deal, an agreement which other U.S. allies have on many occasions insisted on keeping it working. Iran says Tel Aviv levels such baseless allegations in order to prepare an excuse for Washington to scrap the 2015 nuclear agreement.
Our guest joining us for this edition of the debate, author and former U.S. diplomat Michael Springman, joins us from Washington, D.C. And from the Next Century Foundation, Secretary General William Morris joins us from London. Gentlemen, welcome. William Morris, let me start with you. Quite a show by the Prime Minister. I'm sure you've seen it perhaps more than once. Why do you think the Israeli Prime Minister would pick this time to make his presentation?
Well, Israel has its own motives, and it is obviously very frightened of Iran and Iran's success in Syria and so forth. But that said, I mean, the issue, underlying issue of whether Iran really has any wish to develop nuclear weapons is a very important one. And the supreme leader, Ali Khamenei, he gave a fatwa in August 2005 saying that nuclear weapons were utterly inappropriate, and then he strengthened that in April 2010 with a statement saying that nuclear weapons were against Islam. So there is a very strong position by Iran on this issue. What we'd like to see, I mean, it would be useful, I think, if that was underlined. It would be useful to see that fatwa. It's not on the Supreme Leader's website where his other fatwas are displayed. It'd be useful to see that made and restated more prominently. But it's clearly Iran's position that weapons of mass destruction, including nuclear and chemical weapons, are against Islam. And I think that that is a very strongly held view by the Supreme Leader. And the suggestion by some of the analysts that are suspicious of Iran, they are suggesting that because the Council of Guardians has given the defense of Iran to the Revolutionary Guard, the suggestion they make is that the Revolutionary Guard might be doing something secretly without the Supreme Leader's consent. I think that is an impossibility, but I would like that to be stated even more strongly by Iran.
Well, that's an interesting angle. We're going to get into that in a minute. I guess we'll cover that. However, I'd like to find out from you, Michael Springman. This presentation came one day after the new Secretary of State, Michael Pompeo, visited Israel, and based on reports that we have here, was back in March, where the Israeli Prime Minister actually informed Trump that he was going to go through with this, I'm not too sure what to call it, with this show that he had regarding Iran's alleged nuclear ambitions. So if this is coordinated with the U.S., what significance does that have with the U.S. giving the green light for Netanyahu to present this prior to the U.S. making its final decision on May 12th?
Well, I think it gives cover for Trump to not to certify the Iran's compliance with this Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA. I think that he will use the nonsense spewed forth by Netanyahu in his 55,000 pages and 183 CDs, supposedly justifying a secret Iranian nuclear program. That's been shut down and shot down by the investigative journalist Gareth Porter, who said that from his viewpoint and what he's seen, this was all fabricated by the Israeli government itself, and goes back to the Bush family attacking, planning to attack Iraq and planning to pressure Iran to give up its nuclear weapons if it ever had any. And they helped force Iran to give up 98% of its enriched uranium and shut down 2/3 of its centrifuges. So it's President Trump can point to this and say, well, the Israelis know. The Israelis have this great intelligence service. The Israelis know the Middle East. They know the Iranians. They know this. They know that. And therefore, we should believe what they say, and we should take their advice and clamp down on Iran again. And I think that it also comes right after Israel has mounted attacks on camps in Syria that were supposedly used by Hezbollah and advisors from Iran, and it looks more like a justification for war and creating more difficulties for Iran and in the entire region than anything else.
William Morris, are you aware of any incidents that throughout the years have been presented that have been false in terms of the intelligence that was presented in any shape or form or the formats from either credible news agencies or by, let's say, the Israeli Prime Minister?
Of course, there's been false intelligence. Disinformation has been going back and forth. And there are those that are very keen to blacken Iran's name in this regard. And they're helped up to a point by, I mean, there are one or two, and I stress just one or two, extreme hardline clerics in Iran, like Ayatollah Mosbah Yazdi, I think his name is, who was close to former President Ahmadinejad, said that any weapon is acceptable in defense of Iran. And these are unhelpful statements and really give analysts in places like Israel cause to be frightened. I think that Iran is a principal country. It would never, I think, in any way or shape or form stand for nuclear weapons, develop nuclear weapons, or any weapons of mass destruction. I mean, 100,000 Iranians died, didn't they, in the Iraq-Iran war at the hands of weapons of mass destruction, chemical weapons. So Iran's position on this, I think, is very clear. And any statement to the contrary is obviously flawed. But we do need Iran to reinforce this, I think, at this time, and say very strongly that it's against weapons of mass destruction.
Well, Michael Springman, we need to mention this because obviously this may go unnoticed. I'm surprised that our guest there did not mention it and went immediately and talked about Iran again. But you have the case that you mentioned of Gareth Porter, where it was a manufactured crisis, of which he even wrote a book on that. You have the case of the Associated Press report that came out with that graph. And, you know, it's that defied logic at that point, and it was actually ridiculed. But when you go into the presentation details of how vast it was of just false statements, then it makes you wonder other instances like the one that we just witnessed yesterday.
Well, look at Colin Powell's justification for attacking Iraq in 2003. He made his presentation to the United Nations and to the United States government and the American people on the basis of falsified information. And what the press does not seem to focus on, and what the American government doesn't seem to focus on, is the fact that Israel, and Israel alone, is the only country in the region that has atomic bombs. According to the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists of some 5 years ago, in 2013, they estimated the Israelis to have 80 weapons capable of mass destruction and radiation and so forth, and enough fissile material to build another 115 weapons as well. So I think this needs to be brought out and needs to be focused on, and we need to get the Israelis to start giving up their nuclear weapons and cutting back on their uranium possession and such like. I think that this is what we really need to focus on, rather than maybe the Iranians have something, maybe the Iranians don't, and we want to see this statement and that statement. Well, I want to see some action on Israel and get them to give up their weapons of mass destruction.
Very well. Let's listen to some of the viewer comments as posted on our Facebook page, and we'll come right back to the debate.
Let's say Iran is developing nuclear weapons. Why does it bother you? How can you blame Iran when you have nuclear weapons? You're talking about Iran's nuclear weapons, but how about Israel's nuclear weapons? Israel has illegal nuclear arms from many years ago. Why aren't world bodies discussing that? International bodies should take this allegation seriously. US and Israel both lie about Iran. Anything that comes out of Netanyahu's mouth is a lie.
Okay, William Morris, we need to put the reactions out there. First reaction, I would think it's probably the most important one in a sense, would be what the IAEA has said. Quote, no credible proof of Iran nuclear weapons program after 2009. And the agency also reiterated that it has no credible indications of activities in Iran relevant to the development of a nuclear explosive device after the year 2009, citing its assessments from 2015.
Absolutely. And I really think that that is the position. I mean, it's very clearly the position. I would hope that Iran has never tried to develop nuclear weapons. And it is quite right, your mentioning the fact that Israel has nuclear weapons. Israel has nuclear weapons, has failed to sign the Non-Proliferation Treaty, has failed, for that matter, to sign the Chemical Weapons Convention. And Israel is way behind Iran on these matters of principle. So, yes, Iran has an honorable position, and it must, I believe, reiterate it and strengthen it. So that it's very clear to the international world. If, by the way, if President Donald Trump fails to sign the waiver on May 12th, then that would be a great shame. and very inappropriate. And I think much of the international community, including Britain, including many countries of the world, are really putting all pressure they can on him to sign and to do the honorable thing. But what he will do is another question entirely. He's very unpredictable in this regard.
Indeed, and let's try to get to some of the points, perhaps, that may lead to a conclusion on that. William Springman, we're looking at a number of deductions being made by these developments. I mean, you have, on the one hand, this camp that says the move by the Israeli Prime Minister, well, that obviously shows that he wants to convince the U.S. to stay in the deal, or else he wouldn't make that presentation in the shape and form that he did. Do you agree with that assessment?
No, I don't. From what he said and what I've read about it, his whole point seems to be to get the United States to abrogate the deal that was so carefully worked out after so many years by the five permanent members of the Security Council of the United Nations plus Germany. I think that Netanyahu is looking for cover for war, and his view would be for the United States to fight Iran and leaving Israel out of it, and letting things go their own way. Although surprisingly, after he made the statement, the Israeli parliament, the Knesset, voted to give Netanyahu, the prime minister, emergency powers in the event of an extreme situation where he could launch a war with only the agreement of the defense minister, of Avigdor Lieberman, who was a right-wing fanatic and thoroughly hates Iran, claiming recently in a statement that Israel has three problems: Iran, Iran, Iran.
So looking at that statement by Michael Springman, William Morris, do you think that the publication by the Prime Minister Netanyahu is meant to convince the U.S. to stay, or was it aimed not to pressure President Trump but to support a decision that was already made by the U.S. President?
Yes, I don't think the U.S. president has made up his mind about anything. He seems to change his mind like the wind. But yes, I'd agree with Mr. Springman. I mean, of course, the Israeli president wants the deal not to be signed, or the waiver not to be signed on May 12th. And he is a hawk. He's in no position to, or Israel is in no position to conduct some sort of unilateral war with Iran. It's not strong enough, but it is looking to America to take a more hawkish stand, and it's doing so because it's frightened of Iran. It's frightened of Iran's strength, and what we need actually is to cool it a little. I'd see nothing wrong with an additional agreement. I think one could negotiate a sort of secondary agreement, but not throw away what we've got so far. The idea that we could negotiate an additional agreement with Iran that looked at the situation in the Middle East as a whole and also looked at Iran's missile program, I mean, fine, that's fine. Let's do it. The international community should perhaps try and discuss these matters more openly. We need honest conversations. That's what we're not getting. But we don't need to rip apart any deal that we've already made.
William Springman, you seem to think that perhaps, as you said, Netanyahu is using this for cover for war, and you mentioned the Knesset approving him in terms of him making the decision to go to war, that it only needs to be agreed with by Avigdor Lieberman. If you were to take a look at the way Pompeo rushed off after the EU and went directly to Saudi Arabia and then visited Israel and then went to Jordan, and all this flurry of his trips in such a short span of time, what kind of impression would you get from that? Does that look like they're preparing for something?
Yes, it does. It looks like it's a very carefully coordinated arrangement to decide what they're going to do about Iran, and I am concerned that they will use force. I think what the Israelis would like to do is trigger some attack by Iran as a result of Israelis bombing Iranian bases or Syrian bases, and
When you say Iranian bases, I'd like to get
small,
that clear.
However slight.
I'm sorry, Michael Springman, I'd like to get that clear. If you're talking about Iranian bases in Syria, Iran does not have bases in Syria.
Well, I misspoke. I apologize. Groups of Iranian advisors in Syria helping to work with various groupings supporting the Syrian government. An attack on the Iranian forces someplace would well create a counterattack, and then the Israelis can run to their Uncle Sam screaming, "We've been attacked by the Iranians, help us," and Trump would probably be so foolish as to unleash a major assault against Iran to the detriment of everybody in the area and beyond.
We have one question each. William Morris, that scenario that was just painted has been in another presidency of the U.S. has been presented, and it hasn't panned out to a war. Do you think that we're getting closer to that point based on the activities that are taking place? And we should throw in the fact that Israel did actually target and has been targeting rather in an increased fashion military bases inside Syria.
Yes, Israel has, and it's unfortunate. It's I think a mistake on Israel's part, and indeed it's lost at least one and if not two airplanes in that effort. But that said, the situation is that I don't think we are going to see a war. God forbid we see a war between the United States and Iran. I don't think it'll happen, but what will happen is that Trump will ratchet up the rhetoric as he did with North Korea. He will, and we're getting this now from Netanyahu. They're maximalists. They want to push Iran into a corner. And I hope that Iran will continue to honor the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and continue with its current very principled stand and not respond in kind to this international bullying, which is very inappropriate.
Very well, we're going to end it there. Thank you very much. Let me thank our guests. Author and former U.S. diplomat Michael Springman spoke to us from Washington, D.C., and Next Century Foundation Secretary General William Moore spoke to us from London. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Tawain, the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.